So many people are afraid to share their opinions. They're not wanting to share what they believe is right. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to agree, but at least if you have conviction that what you believe could be the right thing to say in your opinion, and you believe it counts, then say it.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. We are here today with Dr. Alex Tam. Alex, welcome to the show.
Dr. Mike, welcome. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having me on the show.
You are welcome and thank you for being here again. Alex is an entrepreneur, real estate investor, husband, father. I like the order that you put some of those things and that comes first before your other job, doctor of chiropractic, clinical director of an integrative medicine practice and over 15 years of experience. Before I get to the rest of your bio, I just want to say, because this is a funny thing in the allopathic or traditional medicine model and chiropractic, sometimes there's a rub there. But what I have seen in my entrepreneurial ventures, because you don't get the same insurance thing, at the same time, you're outside of a lot of that where I think medical doctors are kind of herded into a very narrow path and have a hard time seeing outside of it, where chiropractors, because there's a lot more business involved in your business, seem to be a lot better at that. So I love talking to chiropractors about what they do from a business standpoint, because they tend to spend so much time thinking about it. But Alex built his career as a chiropractor and then clinical director of successful integrative medicine clinic, went on to author a book, The Truth About Chronic Pain, and helped many who in mainstream people who had failed in mainstream medicine. As much as he loved his job, it took time away from his family, and he began feeling trapped in a job working over 60 hours a week and feeling like he was just barely treading water. I think a lot of us listening can really associate with that. And in the quest for time and freedom led him to real estate investing and learning how to work more efficiently through delegation. And now is dedicating his time to helping entrepreneurs, especially doctors and small business owners like himself, learn how to grow their business, invest wisely, and build generational wealth for their families. Anything that I messed up or forgot to put in there?
That's great.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about your path. And so you had the chiropractic business and then also moved into integrative medicine and then your pain book. And I guess part of this I'm asking for myself, because I have this long history of shoulder injuries that, depending on the state of whether I've been taking care of myself or not, and then re-hurting myself, it has a big impact on things like sleep. So just tell me more about how you went from one to the next and how that whole path grew.
Yeah, I mean, my path to become a chiropractor initially, that itself was like a two-year path. Because in 2002, my mom got diagnosed with trigeminal neuralgia, and I was on path in pre-med to become a medical doctor. Trigeminal neuralgia, for people that don't know, is a lot of pain in the face, right? Pins and needles, stabbing pain in the face. They also call it the suicidal disease, because a lot of people who get that disease commit suicide. The pain is too hard. My mom had that for 2 years, and anytime when she had an attack, she would like drop a dish. We'll hear like a clank somewhere in the kitchen, right? She took medications, Tylenol, your Advil, started with the low end stuff. Eventually they gave her Vicodin, gabapentin, the rotten type medications. They eventually put Botox shots all over her neck and head and gave her cortisone shots. Now 2 years went by. Mike, after 2 years, it just, nothing worked. The doctor suggested for her to get surgery. And in surgery, we asked what actually happens. They have to open up the side of her face. They have to snip her nerve. And there's a potential for the nerve to grow back over the next few years. So every time she feels that, she may have to go in and do the same surgical procedure again. Not only will it give her a loss of sensation in her face, but it also will may cause her to lose muscle control in her face as well, right? So we said that was the time where we actually held off. We did all the medical interventions up until that point. And we start asking friends and family for help. Someone referred us to a chiropractor, a natural doctor that was about 2.5-3 hours away. And then from there, they said, well, let's take an x-ray, find out what's going on with mom, right? And from there, we took an x-ray and the doctor said, your mom has gone through something that it was very traumatic and it happened a long time ago that led her to have degenerative arthritis and disc problems in her neck and upper neck, which trigger this nerve pain. After 3 months of treatment, for the first time in 2 years, she was 50% better. And I switched gears and I said, let me go to chiropractic school. And that's how I became a chiropractor. Went to school in 2005, graduated in 2008, started the practice in May of 2009.
That's amazing. It's interesting that it's almost built into us as medical doctors, like there's this box. And if you get out of the box, things are bad. And if you look back, though, you don't have to look that back that far to find things that were out of the box and now they're not. And there's so much that we're learning now about disease states and the way the body works and heals. Mm-hmm. That is different than what I learned in medical school. So, wow, what a transformative process. You saw the traditional medicine not work and saw something different work. So then give me a little bit more of a definition, because this is a funny thing. So most medical doctors, when you look at integrative medicine, naturopath, functional medicine, it's all kind of this put in this box together as that other stuff.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about today, I'm like, you know, I'm like, let's just bring this out here. Let's have the discussion. So tell me from an integrative medicine standpoint, what are we talking about here? Just the definition of and how that's different from traditional medicine.
Oh, great question. So in general, let's say, see, musculoskeletal spinal problems is the number one cause of people missing work in the US, right? Lower back pain being about 60 to 80% of that. So most people, when they have lower back pain or sciatica, right? You go to a traditional primary care and a hospital, they will do one of two things. They will either offer you medication, usually an anti-inflammatory, right? A muscle relaxer, or they'll offer PT.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it continues to get worse, usually the level of medication starts to go up. You either take a heavier dose or you take it more frequently, right?
Yep.
And maybe some more PT. And then eventually it's a cortisone shot here, an epidural here to numb the pain. And that can go on for years. And if that doesn't fix the problem, you're now surgery, a surgical candidate. Surgery. And then a lot of people, a lot of studies show surgeries come out 50-50. 50% of the time, you feel a little bit better. And within 12 to 18 months, it comes back. And that's a success. 50% of the time, nothing happens or you end up getting worse. Right. So for those 50% that got worse or nothing happens, the next step is walkers and canes and wheelchairs. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. And these problems can linger for years, decades. Some people, it's a shorter time. Some people, it's a longer period of time. Dr. Mike, people don't come to us initially when they first have the problem. Rarely do I have a person who says, hey, Dr. Alex Tam, I started noticing my back pain last week and now I'm here.
Right? Oh, so they come right away.
They don't. I'm saying that they don't. Most don't. Okay. Most will go through the easy route first, right? What medications can I take? But my mom have went through that route and they eventually suggested surgery. The natural integrative approach that I take is when someone comes in for lower back or sciatica, anytime you have a nerve involvement, that nerve is pinched somewhere, right? Medication's not going to fix the problem, right? It'll cover up the symptom. It might lower the inflammation, but it's not going to fix the cause of that problem. See? So where we come in is we got to figure out what the cause of that problem is through exams, x-rays, consultation. Then we sit down with them. Okay, how do we fix this? Is it an alignment issue where a chiropractic adjustment can correct? Is it a discompression issue where we have spinal decompression and laser that can help? Is it a muscular issue where now we use shockwave and muscle therapy? Or is it the person that has decayed and it's degenerated so far gone where they need some extra help? That's where regenerative medicine comes in. See?
Yep. You know what's so awesome about that? Because I guess my eyes kind of opened to it as I had for years been told I had AC separation. That was my shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I moved to Green Bay and I saw an orthopedic surgeon who's one of the kind of the shoulder guy for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at it and he did an MRI and he's like, your AC joint is fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, for 20 years I had an AC separation. And he said, well, basically he said, your options are is we could do a rotator cuff repair and you're going to be recovering. You're not going to be able to operate for 4 to 6 months. And on the other end, your recovery is going to be hard. You're going to do a bunch of rehab and you'll likely get better and you could hurt it again. And your other option is you could just do rehab and in 6 months, you'll likely be in the same place. So the only difference goes, if you made a living throwing with that arm, you're a quarterback or a pitcher, I say we need to fix it and we need to fix it right and put you through a very specific so you can go back out and throw again.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't throw that often. It's like, yeah, if that's not an issue, that surgery is probably not the way to go. And so we went through that and we did some other stuff like PRP shots and things that were outside of the traditional that other docs were like, oh, you know, and at that point, nobody'd heard of PRP.
Right.
And it was really way outside of the mainstream. And then to find out in the NFL, it was because unlike a cortisol shot that you can only do so many, like throughout the league, those guys are like, a little blood drawn, a little shot. And it got amazingly better. And all of a sudden I'm like, huh, maybe there's a lot of stuff we're missing. And I think because there's so much that it's like, well, what's the double-blind placebo control trial and how big was it? But on the other side, a lot of other interventions like you're talking about, what's the risk?
Mm-hmm.
So if the risk is low and the success is reasonable,
right?
I'm starting to like that low risk, reasonable success over back surgery is kind of a different animal. So
yeah,
maybe I'm stepping on some medical toes there and I went too far, but.
Well, you know what? You're just speaking the truth and our opinions. I think nowadays, so many people are afraid to share their opinions. They're not wanting to share what they believe is right. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to agree.
Yep.
But at least if you feel, if you have conviction that what you believe could be the right thing to say in your opinion, and you believe it counts, then say it, right? It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot outside of what we have available. And because there is a lot as a traditional allopathic doctor, there's guardrails. And if you step over the guardrail, there can be consequences, like you're outside of the gold standard. And I think for a lot of people, there's some benefits that are on the other side of the guardrail and that aren't super risky things.
Yes.
And that may not be available to them in their standard practice. And a lot of docs are afraid to say, maybe look on the other side of the guardrail before we start doing a bunch of injections. So that's funny, as a urologist standpoint, we got doing prostate cancer surgery and stress incontinence is part of that. And we'd always kind of trained people on retraining their pelvic floor, but we weren't that great at it, really. Like, you know, do your Kegels. And then we got some physical therapists who really specialized in it. And the recoveries got so much better. And then I had a guy come back. And I'm like, so how's physical therapy going? And he goes, well, I was really struggling. But they said the problem is because, I don't know, something like his knee, I've been compensating and walking funny. And because my pelvis is set weird, I don't get good contraction of the pelvic floor, and that's why I'm incontinent. So we've been working on this stuff with my thigh, and my incontinence got better. I'm like, wow, okay, that's way beyond me. And, and there was this whole system of how the body works and protects itself that isn't really part of a lot of the training we get sometimes to go back down that road.
Right.
And as I've gotten older, I've been amazed by last time I hurt my shoulder was the first week of January skiing with my daughter. And I went back to the time before that. And the orthopedic surgeon was like, we got to move you now. And this whole idea of how the body shuts down to protect itself. And the older we get, the more we do it. Mm-hmm. Little injury when you're 18, you're like, I'm invincible. I don't care. And you're fine. And you keep moving. And as you get older, you have an injury and your body decides you're hurt. And all of a sudden you can't move your arm.
Or it's and the neurology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The muscle's the neurology shuts down. Weaker one day later. If you don't use it for a long time, you atrophy, but it's not weaker than it was yesterday, but you can't move it.
It's your brain shutting it down because the neural pathway between the afferent and efferent is so huge that when we hurt, your body will shut down that area. So it doesn't hear it or see it anymore until you have to retrain that area.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. Yeah, I find that all very fascinating now, probably because it's part of my life and I have to deal with it. So, all right. So you built this great business. And I guess because I kind of had the same thing. It was part of this great urology practice. We're doing awesome. I mean, we take care of all kinds of people. We give what we believe is the best care in the state. And we're making great money, but we're working 60 hours a week. And then you hit this point. Tell me about your experience there.
Well, I mean, the practice is great. I still love it, right? I'm still in the office 3 days a week, sometimes 2 days a week. But the thing is, I realize I can't do it on my own. So we put other doctors in place. We have 5 other staff members in place, right? So all in all, even without me, there's 7 people in the practice, right? Mm-hmm. At a certain point, though, I realized, well, in investments, like you think about outside the box as well, about where to go in terms of, okay, do I continue investing in the practice? Do I do something else as well, right? And there comes a point where I feel like we have to continue taking great care of our patients. I want to continue growing the practice, but I also want to invest in other things as well. And that's how we got into other investments and kind of went from there.
So what are the other things? Wait, before I go there, because I just think this is another one that sometimes is hard for docs, is when you're hiring other people to do things. Because I look back to when I was in surgical training and the thing that was said was do it yourself, check it twice, don't trust anybody else, which following that pathway, you can't do everything or you can only do so much yourself. You can. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you're just overwhelmed.
Yes.
And so tell me some of the process that you went by to go, okay, I'm not going to do everything myself.
Yeah.
What do I want to offload? Who can I offload it to? And how you start to set that up.
Going from the beginning, I've had an associate doctor in the office since 2012, but it was only one other doctor. At the time, my office was 1,600 square feet, so it could really only fit 2 doctors and 2 assistants.
Okay.
Right. But I thought to myself, I said, well, there's got to be a way to train a doctor the right way, because most doctors don't come out of school trained, right? You know that. You've been in practice with multiple doctors. I'm sure you train a number of them. And they don't come out like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what to do. Right?
Yeah.
So because every practice is different, even the ones who've been in practice for a while, they don't practice the same way we do. So we've developed a very good process on how to take patients who are in chronic severe pain and in about 8 to 10 weeks completely transform their life with the different therapies that we have, right? You're talking about people coming in from with walkers and wheelchairs where 8 to 10 weeks later, they start walking without a cane. So in order for us to accomplish that, I realize I have to be the one training them. I got to come up with a standard operating procedure on exactly how to train them, what to look for, right? I made videos of everything. Okay. So that's how we train, and we continuously training our doctors on the processes and the details and what to do. So that constant training is key, whether it's staff or doctor, and then being able to let go of things. One of my mentors always told me, you got to let go to grow, right? If we don't let go of certain things, we can't hold on to everything.
Yes.
Right? We cannot grow that way.
I think that's the hard one for a lot of docs, especially surgeons, that there's so much your training that is holding on to everything and be afraid that if anybody else does it, they might do it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. But and, you just have to check.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that I think is changing now as our medical world has been overrun. It's just too much work. And starting to use mid-levels, more nurse practitioners and PAs, because they come out of school with a very basic training, with a basic skill set. And especially if you're coming into a surgical specialty, they may have little to no training. And we spent a long time initially just, we'd want ones who are experienced. And then once we got over that hurdle of learning to train, because that was a whole new thing, then it's sometimes almost better getting really smart new grads.
Yes.
We've hired a bunch of those recently. They're smart, they're motivated, and you can just putty them into their own spectacular self that works within your practice.
Yes. You get to mold them now.
Yeah, you get to mold them. But it's interesting that for doctors, it's a hard thing that if, you know, or the first time I read, if you can't leave for a month and see the same paycheck, you don't have a business. You just have a job.
Yeah, you own a job. Just,
you own a job. And I was like, which is a hard thing because you can't, still for most doctors, there are very few MDs who can walk away from their practice for a month and it keeps making money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough spot as a doctor. And maybe one of those things that part of with chiropractors and other medical fields that they have more of an ability to do that without really bucking the system to get there.
Yeah, we've learned early on that we have to train.
You got to train.
Yeah, and it's possible, right? I mean, people do it in all the different fields all the time.
Yeah.
Right? You have one landscaper training the next one. You have one contractor training the next one. One mechanic training the next one. Why is it that it's so different for us?
I wonder if the difference is the amount of training as a surgeon you go through by the time, this is kind of where I'm thinking, like, by the time you get to the other side, so it's 4 years of college and then 4 years of medical school and 6 years of residency and maybe 2 years of a fellowship, there's been a lot of training. And the system has always said, okay, when you come through all that training, you're trained and you're ready to go. And although you continue to learn, you learn from your peers, but it hasn't been as much of a training model. And we weren't trained how to train.
Right. That in itself is a skill set.
Yes. Yeah. And the letting go between the seeing that needing to train people to fill in below you and the letting go of things and letting somebody else do them. And that whole mindset of like, I have to do everything to make sure it's done right, loses the fact that we know we all have limited capabilities. There's only so much we can all do and know. And the more you can focus on the important stuff, the better you are at that. And the more you have other people doing other things, you can focus on the important stuff. And I think before we always did that by just being a super specialist. Like I only do this one little surgery, but you can do be more of a generalist in your practice if you train people to do the basic stuff that brings the whole practice and the patient to your specialty level before you have to put in any work.
Yes, I agree.
That's, well, that's awesome. Man, we're blowing through time here. So, because now we want to get into Alex's journey then into becoming a real estate investor and also helping teach entrepreneurship to other docs and to people around him. And we're going to dive into that in the second half of our conversation here. So for right now, we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you, Alex, for being here. This has been great. And I think you provided some great value to our listeners, to everybody out there. Thank you for joining us here on Surgeon Syndicate. And please come back for the second half. We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call and we can make a plan. I'm looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.